Man, we just stand in amazement at our great Creator. Powerful. What an amazing week. Man, I am praying for you, praying for the people of this church, praying for those who really choose to be here. Thank you for being so consistent. I'm telling you, we first started this series called The Walk. The very first message was consistency. Again, when we learn to be consistent in our walk, when we learn to be consistent in our prayer life, when we learn to be consistent on our face before God as a family, when we learn to be consistent to come into church, when we learn to be consistent as husband and wife, walking as God, life changes, man. Life changes with consistency to the right things. You can be consistent in the wrong things and your life will drastically change. Or we can be consistent for what God says, and man, our life will drastically change in a powerful way for Him and for His glory. Great stuff. Thank you so much for being here. Man, last week was amazing. Wasn't that just great? We get all juiced up and all pumped up for when Wes and Connie come and when they bring the kids, and they just, honestly, they, I got to tell you, Wes was, he was so blessed last week because of the people of this church and the great response. And just when you preach, you know you're preaching to a hungry bunch. Or you know you're preaching to a bunch that says, you know what? Man, he says, Sean, you got a hungry bunch there. You got a bunch of people who are just hungry for truth, and they're hungry for the Word of God. And it is so easy to begin to preach and speak truth to people who are just sponges, man. They're just ready. And Wes was so blessed. Let me tell you something about this church. I love this church, and I love you, and I am so grateful. I'm amazed to pastor and lead this church. That, man, after the three services, we certainly took up a special offering. We don't do special offerings often, very, very few. And man, you blessed Wes and Connie. Like almost $1,400, $1,500 came in for them. Gang, that's just amazing. Come on. Thank you. Amen. Thank you so much. And, you know, I don't say that in any other sense, but just to say thank you as your pastor to respond in such an amazing way in the three services. I mean, there was over 600 people here last week. That was crazy. And you know what's so funny? I gave a pitch in the 11 o'clock service 2 weeks ago. Because it was just people sitting on the floors at 11 o'clock. It was crazy week. And I said, hey, folks, listen, Wes is coming next week. If we could, please, just if you could just, man, bless me and kind of balance things out, right? That would be great. Last Saturday night was packed. First service, Sunday, packed. You know what the least attended service was? Seriously, the 11 o'clock service. I'm like, what a crew. I mean, I lead the absolute most amazing people on this planet. I tell you, it just blew me away. We're looking and we're like, this truly is the least. I mean, 1 week ago, there was people sitting on the floor, sitting in the foyer. We had cars parked on the front lawn. I'm just like, oh my goodness, what are we doing? And then it was the least attended service, and we still had over 600 people. And there was such a great response. And man, I was just blessed last week. Thank you. Man, as your pastor, thank you for such a great response last week. Man, just incredible. Just amazing. And listen, if you would please give God your ear tonight. We're closing out this series called The Walk. And man, I'm telling you, please hear this, and we will leave this place different. We will leave this place changed. We will leave this place encouraged, built up. We will leave this place enthused about who we are in Him. Please hear this. Please. Let's just ask God to speak to us. Father, thank you. Thank you for our time of worship. Thank you for tonight. God, these are the most amazing people on the planet, God. I am so blessed and I am so privileged, God, to lead these people. Father, thank you for this church. And I mean the church, not the building. These people are the church. God, I thank you for these people. I thank you for those who choose to make this their home. God, I thank you for those who are so consistent, growing in you, knowing you, understanding you, living for you. God, it is such a privilege. Father, thank you. God, I ask that you would speak to us tonight, God. God, that open our eyes to see exactly what we need to see. God, our ears will be open to hear exactly what you would have us to hear tonight. That God, our hearts will be like a sponge tonight, God. Feed us tonight, Father. We are hungry for your word. God, we are hungry for truth, God. And that you would speak to us, God, by your Holy Spirit tonight. Speak into our hearts. Folks, please ask God tonight. Speak to me. God, I am hungry. God, I am here. I am listening. I'm all in. God, speak to me tonight. Folks, please ask God, speak to me tonight. Feed me tonight, God. I am here, and I'm ready to hear. In Christ's name, amen. Awesome, awesome. Hey, two places tonight. We're going to talk about the walk. Today's message is called Worth It All. Folks, when you recognize what it is to walk this walk, and you recognize what it is that we are being consistent, we go through prayer, we go through encouragement, we go through relationships, and we get to this right here, and we recognize that everything that we do for Him is worth it. It's worth everything, folks, when you recognize what we've gained in Christ. And you see a man in Paul. We're going to go through kind of like a historical account of who Saul was turning into Paul. And you look at this, and there's two places. You can turn to Philippians 3 and then Matthew 13. Put a marker in Matthew 13, and we'll get to Philippians 3 in a minute. But gang, listen to this, please. Do you really think for a moment, at the end of this thing called life, for a life that has been lived for Jesus, a life that has been surrendered for Jesus, a life that has given up for Christ, a life that has said, I lay down my sin, I lay down myself, it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And you live a life that is a life of obedience, and you live a life of surrender. You live a life that you are leaving the old behind, and you're going after. You live a life at times that is lonely, at times that you have to go in seclusion, at times you live this life that is for Jesus. Do you think for a moment that at the end of the day, when you take your last breath, that you're going to regret it? Think about that, because we are just such a here and now people. Man, today is here, and we just don't see past today. We don't see past our hand. If we just get to think for a minute. If I'm going to live this life of sacrifice, I'm going to live this life of obedience, I'm going to live this life for Jesus. Honestly, when you know Christ and you know that God is good and you know that He loves you, you know that He's compassionate, you know that He's, and you know what the end of the road holds for you in heaven, do we really think that we'll regret living here and now completely, totally surrendered for Him, that we will get to the end of the day and say, everything I have done has been worth it for my King and for my Savior and for my Redeemer and for my Lord? And for my God, everything that I've given up, everything that I've done, that my turning away from the world and turning in to light, turning away from darkness and turning to light, saying no to the old friends and saying yes to the new life. Do you really think any of that isn't worth what lays ahead for you and I? See, folks, everyone in this room will have regret. Whether it's something we've said, something we've done, a place we've gone, whatever the case, there's always something in our lives where there is regret. I think of Jonah. I bet you he regretted not just quickly walking in obedience, sitting in the belly of that fish for 3 stinky, rotten, awful days with other dead fish. And just that would be, I think he's sitting there going, oh, I regret this. Why didn't I just go to Nineveh? Why is just all I had to do was get there? It's just crazy. It's two fish, boom. I think the Israelites probably regretted not going a one-day journey into a land that God promised them, and they wandered for 40 years, and everyone died except for the children, except for those the spies who said, let's go, let's take the land. Bet you they had a pretty good regret on that. I could imagine Peter regretted. Jesus said, listen, you're going to deny me 3 times. I'm with you. I will die for you. I will never deny you. Within that day, folks, denied him 3 times, and then Jesus looks over and pierces his eyes right to Peter. And I bet you in that moment right there, there was some serious regret. But do you think that if we live a life that is completely surrendered to Him and we do not hold back, which end do you think we're going to regret? Holding back? Not going all? Not going for it? Not doing what God has put on our hearts to do? Not walking in obedience? Which side of the fence do you think we're going to walk in regret? Completely surrendering, totally going for it, totally surrendering all to Him, totally getting to a place to say, I am all in all the time. God, you've got me. I'm in. I belong to you. I will walk in obedience. I will lay down sin. I will lay down the old, and I will walk in the new, God. I will follow you with everything I've got. Gang, at the end of that road, you will not have regret, and you will recognize it has been worth every second of my life to live for Him, to recognize that when we walk the walk, it's worth it, folks. It's worth it to walk with Him. Come on, Philippians 3 says this. We're going to look at Paul. We're going to look at his life. And here he's writing this from prison. He's writing it to the church at Philippi, one of his very first churches that he's planted. This is many years later. And he says this, chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again to you is no trouble for me. I love this. He says, listen, I'm going to preach it till you get it. Folks, I'm going to preach it till we get it, okay? I'm going to keep going after this thing until we really walk in a full knowledge of God, until we walk in this surrendered life, because that's what Paul said. Listen, to write the same things to you again is no trouble for me. It is a safeguard for you. Man, this word safeguard, it means that you wouldn't trip, that you wouldn't stumble, that you wouldn't be led astray. And then he goes right after false doctrine and false teachers. He goes right after legalism and religion, and he hammers it, folks, because that's a stumbling block. And that gets in the way of true relationship. And that leads people right to the pit of hell. And Paul understood that for the very reason, because he lived that. And he fought for that. And he worked for that system. And this is what he says. He says, beware of the dogs. You see, you got to understand, when he says beware of the dogs, when people are understanding that, he is referencing the false teachers. He's referencing a legalistic system. He's referencing religion, because the dogs of that day, they would roam around the city, all right, and they would eat garbage, and they were just pests, and then they would attack humans. And he equates those leaders to that. So he says, you need to be aware of the dogs. You need to be aware of the evil workers. You need to be aware of the false circumstances. These are those who live by law. These are those who live by religion. These are those who live by legalism. He says, you need to be aware of them. And then he says, this is powerful. For we are, gang, he's talking to us. If you know Christ as Lord and Savior, and you recognize what it is to be born again only based on the blood of Jesus, only because Jesus gave his life for you, then you and I are a part of the we. We are the true circumcision. This is what he says. We are the ones who truly belong to him. It's not based on being circumcised. It's not based on religion. It's not based on false doctrine. It's based on Jesus. This is what he's saying. For we are the true circumcision who worship. Gang, we are a worship and word church on purpose. Worship is a huge part. We talked about this just 2 weeks ago on what worship really is. Powerful, powerful message. And here Paul says, listen, if you truly are of the true circumcision, if you really belong to Jesus, then we need to worship in the Spirit of God. We need to come to this place to honor and to adore and to praise. Then he says this, and glory in Christ Jesus. This word glory, it means to boast. It means to exalt. That you and I are to boast in none other than Christ. We are not to boast in ourselves. We can't boast that we've got it right. We can't boast that we've got everything together. We can't boast that, man, I go to church, therefore I'm in. We can't boast on anything that we have done. But he says we are to brag. We are to boast. We are to exalt Christ. Boast only in Christ. This is what he's saying. This is those who are the true circumcision. True believers are going to worship God. The true believers are going to boast only in Christ. When they begin to boast on anything other than Jesus, and they begin to boast on the rules and the regulations, and they begin to boast that they were circumcised, they begin to boast, I follow all the rules, they begin to boast, well, I have gone to this specific church that says, if I've done that, I'm in. If they begin to boast on anything, folks, anything other than Christ, Paul here is very firm and he's very clear. You have the false circumcision. You have the wrong deal. This is why he would go after this and go after this and go all through the New Testament. The Bible cries out to you and I to examine ourselves, to make sure we're real in the faith. Boast only in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Well, this is what he says. He goes through his resume here. Although I myself may have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. This is, you got to understand where Saul was before he became Paul, before Christ met him on the road to Damascus, the light knocked him off his horse, went blind for 3 days, then understood what he was doing, recognized who really, truly Christ was, and then his whole world changed when he came to Christ. This is who he was beforehand. Look, he says, if anyone has a reason to boast, listen, I trump you all. I have been there. I have done that. I was at the top of my game. I was absolutely top of my game. This is what he says. Look at this. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day. That means, listen, I have been from the Jewish descent from birth. And on the eighth day, I followed that. From the eighth, I wasn't post-circumcision, come to Christ, get not. No, he says from the very beginning, the ritual was that on the eighth day I was circumcised because I was born into the Jew and I followed the rules. And I'm of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm at the top of the tribe. The tribe of Benjamin was hailed as the very best tribe. He said, listen, I am a Jew. I'm from the nation of Israel and I'm from the very best tribe there is. This is what he begins. This is his resume. I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews. And as to the law, I'm a Pharisee. Listen. Folks, when you recognize Jesus going against the Pharisees all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Saul was a part of that group. He was part of the elite group of Pharisees. Respected, position, authority, had finances. When you recognize where Saul was, you recognize the position that he was in, you begin to see this story begin to unfold. And as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is in the law, he says, I was found blameless. I was at the top of my game. I did everything right. They couldn't bring an accusation against me. As to the law, I was perfect. As to persecuting the church, I thought I was doing God's service, and I went after it hard and heavy. Look at this. Galatians 1 says this. This is where Paul was. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism. That was the religious system of the day. How I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure, tried to destroy it. This is where he was, gang. You've got to understand the position, the authority, the reputation that Saul had. He said, listen, I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure, and I tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries, among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Listen, I started climbing up that ladder, and I was passing people like I'm sprinting and they're walking. That's what he's saying. I began to climb the ladder, man. I began to climb the ladder of success, top of my game, passing all of my countrymen, passing everyone else on that ladder, and I was going up. And I was doing it for the ancestral tradition. I was doing it because it was law. Look at Acts 22 says this. I am a Jew born of Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the absolute top teacher of the day. And here Saul was under his teaching. Strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are all today, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons. That's his resume, folks. That's what he did. He went after the Christians. He went after the early church in Acts. He went after those who professed Christ after Christ ascended and went to heaven. He tried to bring the church down, thinking it was against the rules. It was against the Pharisees. It was against the traditions. It was against religion. It was against the law. And Saul did everything in his power to take it out, even bringing people to death. And he says this. You got to remember his position, his authority, his reputation. Look, the high priest would call on Saul and send him out with documents to go arrest and bring people and persecute and beat down and bring him to prison, even kill people. From the highest of, you should know this man's resume. Because the next words are shocking, folks. When he had an experience with Christ, when he recognized that he was persecuting and going after the ones who were right, he was going after the ones who believed in Jesus Christ. When Christ came into his world and Christ rearranged his world, the eyes of his heart were enlightened to recognize that Jesus is God and Jesus is the Messiah, and it's not by rules, it's not by regulations, and not because of my reputation. And he goes down his whole line. When Jesus entered his life, everything changed. For Saul. And then he becomes Paul and he says this. This is amazing. Verse 7. But whatever these things were gained to me. Pharisee. Ruler. Authority. Position. Reputation. Finances. All of that, he says. Those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. Look at where he puts knowing Christ. Gang, please get this. If you understand what it is to be worth it all and give everything for him and recognize I will live a life that completely is surrendered to him. I will live a life that is totally, if I'm going to give up the old and I recognize who Jesus is in my life. And in that, everything else is old. And everything, no matter what it is, no matter what position I would have held, no matter where I was, everything for Christ. The surpassing value, the worth of knowing Christ. Look what he says. This is amazing. I count all things to be lost in view of their surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish. That word rubbish, it means manure, man. It means cow dung. My position, my authority, me being a Pharisee, me having the finances, me having such a respect and such a fear at the same time, all of that, the highest positions, he says, that's cow crap. That's nothing. compared to knowing Jesus. Folks, where are we today in this? Do we put too much weight into our society, too much weight into our position, too much weight into our authority, too much weight into our social status, too much weight into our reputation, too much weight into, and you can just fill in the blank. Because you won't trump Paul, who was Saul, who had it all. And he says, all of that, that whole life was dung. Now look at this. I count them as rubbish. Highlight this. So that, why is it so less than? Why is he considered his former manner of life nothing but cow manure? So that I may gain Christ. So that I may gain. Folks, what is it that we gain in Christ? Listen to this. Please hear this. Listen, you have to give up to gain, gang. What do we, listen, when you understand Christ, we give up hell. We give an absolute, complete eternity of damnation, darkness, gnashing of teeth, lake of fire, separate from God forever, for an eternity. We give that up. And what do we gain? We gain heaven. We gain the very presence and brilliance and radiance and excellence of God Almighty. No need for the sun, because who God is in his brilliance is like the sun. That's what we gain. We give up hell and we gain heaven. We give up our sin and we put on Christ's righteousness. We stand before God one day, completely cleansed, forgotten of our sin, washed by the blood of Jesus, washed in white. That's what we gain, folks, is righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, to stand before God and be rendered not guilty. It's powerful, gang. Listen, we give up our anxiety, we give up our stress, we gain peace, we gain joy. Come on, this is what we gain. How is it that we would ever think for a moment that it's not worth it? How is it that we would ever think for a moment that just completely surrendering, completely letting go of all things, completely letting go of my social status, completely letting go of my reputation, completely letting go of... And we recognize that we gain everything. Christ gave everything in his life that you and I would gain everything through him. Powerful. Paul knew that. Everything I have done, he says, is useless for the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. All things I've given up are considered to be rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Folks, what have you given up so that you may gain Christ? Where are you and I in this? To recognize the reality of what it is when we know Christ. We know what we gain in Christ. We know we gain heaven. We know we gain life. We know we've been set free. We know that bondage is not a part of us. We know that we can overcome temptation because of Jesus. We know that we can walk in peace in a crazy, crazy world. We know that we can have joy when circumstances turn upside down. We know that listen, I give him my stupidity and he gives me his wisdom. That's brilliant, gang. I got a lot to give, okay? Let's just straighten that out. I got a lot of stupidity to give, and he pours out his wisdom to me. That's amazing to me. I give him my darkness, we gain his light. It's just powerful. When you go down a whole list of what you have given up and what you've gained, it is overwhelming when you begin to recognize the surpassing value. It is worth it all to know Christ. I gain everything in Jesus. I've gained everything in the cross, and I will not boast in myself, but I will only boast in him who died for me. Gang, that's where we need to be. If we're going to walk this thing called life in Christ, we need to understand that everything that he calls us to do, everything that he tells us in Scripture, everything that we are to walk in obedience, everything that he calls sin, how we're to work at home between husband and wife, and how we're to raise up our kids and children, and spending time on our face before him, spending time reading the living word, everything, folks, and all of it is worth it when you know Christ, when you recognize I am giving up my social status. I'm giving up a reputation of that I'm the bad boy. I'm giving up. Folks, what are you holding on to? That you really come to the point to say, is it really worth it to give this up? But man, I love this. I know that it's not right. I know, but I enjoy this. I like this. I don't know if it'd be worth it for me to give it up. Are you kidding me? Saul was so much at a higher place than we are. And when his eyes were open to truth, he They call it cow poop. To know and understand the value of what it is to know Christ as our Lord. Matthew 13, please. Folks, what's it really worth? Jesus gives us a couple parables to let us know what really is the kingdom of heaven. What it is in understanding salvation. What is it to really recognize who Jesus is in our lives? To know that we are saved. To know that we have been redeemed. To know that we absolutely have a place in heaven. To know for absolute certain that Jesus died for me and He's given me life and I am forgiven. Gang, what is that worth to you? See, Jesus gives a very clear parable of what it's worth. In case there's any confusion, in case we are on the fence, man, I don't know, man. I kind of have one foot in the world and I'm one foot in the church and I kind of, this balancing act that I'm doing. What are we holding on to? Look at what he says, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. You got to understand this. In those days, man, there weren't banks. You didn't have the credit union, didn't have the banks. So this is, when he begins to speak this, they begin to realize that they've got a lot of cash, a lot of green, a lot of whatever, their treasures, whatever it is, their currency, whatever they have that's valuable, whether it be jewelry, they would bury it in their fields. That was their bank. That was their place that no thief is going to come into my ground and try to find my treasure because I've buried it in a very place that only I know about. This is, so when he begins to preach this, you got to know what he's talking about. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And all the people are relating all their little boxes that they've buried in their field. Which a man found and he hid again, and from joy over it, this is talking about our salvation, from joy over it, he goes and he sells all that he has. He gives everything to buy that field so that he can have that treasure. He says, our salvation is worth everything, everything to us, folks. Then he goes into this. Look at this, verse 45. And again, the kingdom of heaven, it's equating to our salvation, is like a merchant. What's a merchant do in these days? They buy and they sell. That's what a merchant did. They buy, just like a merchant today, they buy and they sell. But this merchant, this particular merchant, is seeking fine pearl. This is what he collected pearls, man. He is a merchant that buys and sells pearls. And he says, listen, our salvation, the kingdom of heaven, what we gain in Christ, it is like this merchant who buys and sells, and he looks for pearls. And then he came across one specific pearl of great value. Equate that to our salvation. He went and he sold all that he had. Get this, every pearl that he's ever accumulated, every pearl that he ever had on his shelf, every pearl that he ever had on his business, he went and sold all of those to buy this one pearl of great value. Folks, that is one man's life collection. And Jesus is saying, is it worth it all? Is it really worth it? Are our eyes open to realize the worth of knowing Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior? The worth of knowing the Spirit of God dwells and reigns within us? The worth of knowing all that we gain in Christ, all that Jesus gave up that we may gain? Is it worth it to you? That, listen, this is what it's worth, he says. This is when you recognize your salvation. He says, it is worth everything. And he equates it to these two who sold everything. And that's the place of value that he puts on our salvation. Folks, you and I put that place of value on our salvation, that it's worth everything. What does salvation mean to you? Folks, what are you willing to give? What do you know that you're holding on to that is holding you back? What do you know that there might be some religion, there may be some circumstance, there may be some sin, there may be a person. It might be a relationship that is holding you back from going all in. And I wouldn't suggest you call that person cow dung, okay? Paul says you're cow dung and you're rubbish and that's not the way to break up, okay? I mean, it might work. If he's a dork, then go for it. That's fine. Right? I mean, I just a thought. Seriously, folks. What is the value? What is the price tag you put on your salvation? Is knowing Christ surpassing value? is giving up a lifestyle, is giving up sin, is giving up things that you know are slowing you down, giving up things that you know are like totally holding you back. Compared to gaining Christ and all that He has for you and I, and walking in great obedience to His word. So you and I got to understand the true value of what Jesus Himself says about salvation. The parable of the gentleman who bought the whole field and the parable of the gentleman who bought this one pearl and sold all that they had, He's equating that to you and I. Parables are taught, He gave parables as an example to teach. And here He's teaching the very value of salvation. And you and I, folks, do we understand our value? Do we understand what it is to know Christ? Do we really get what we gain in Christ? And how could we ever think for a moment, if you really get it, how could we ever think for a moment that at the end of the road we will walk in regret? Come on. Matthew 16, one verse. I want you to see this, please. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever wishes to lose his life for my sake, this is Jesus, will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Who's the one who walks in regret in that? He's gained everything. Yet he didn't know salvation. And he gave up his soul for such temporary stuff. And he says this, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Folks, when we recognize that there are so many times that Jesus faced people face to face, look them in the eye, said, this is what is holding you back from me. Some gave up what was holding back, and others held on and said, Jesus, nope. They didn't quite understand Christ. Those are the ones who forfeit their soul just to gain temporary treasures. And you and I, man, you and I who know truth, you and I who recognize the Scripture, you and I who recognize exactly what Jesus has said about the absolute value of salvation. Where do we put it, folks? Where is it that you and I put it on our scale of importance? Come on, let's bow our heads, please. I just want you to hear this. I'm going to read. I want to close with this because I want to read this to you. I want you to hear all that Paul went through when he gave up his status, when he gave up his position, when he gave up his authority. You think the rest of the Pharisees who hated Christians are just going to let Paul get away with it? And he says this, everything that I have gone through has been worth it, so that I may know and I may gain Christ. And this is some things that I just want you to hear this. I have been in labor. I have been in imprisonments. Beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. He was whipped 5 times, 39 times each. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I've spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys. Dangers from rivers. Dangers from robbers. Dangers from my countrymen. My own people, he says. Dangers from Gentiles. Dangers in the city. Dangers in the wilderness. Dangers on the sea. Dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship. Through many sleepless nights. Hunger and thirst. Often without food. Cold and exposed. He says all of that is rubbish. It's amazing that Paul goes through all of that in his life. That's his resume as a believer. He says it's worth it.
Whipped 5 times. Beaten to almost to death. 3 times beaten with rods. It's worth it. 1 I was stoned. It's worth it. Three times I was shipwrecked. Worth it. Danger on every side. My own people came against me. The enemy has come against me. Danger in the wilderness, danger on the sea, danger among false brethren. Labor, hardship, sleepless nights, worth it. Hunger and thirst, worth it. Without food, cold and exposed. He says it was worth it. Man, I see that and I read that and I'm thinking, man, I haven't gone through any of that. Not one thing on that list. Folks, what is it that you and I have to truly give up tonight? To know that it is worth it all. Man, I just want you to think on that. Paul just lays that at our feet. So I've gone through all of that, and man, every bit of it was worth it because I know Jesus. And I know what awaits for me for eternity. I have gained Christ. I have gained everything. There's a quote up on the screen. I want you to see this quote. This is a verse in the song. Olivia's going to close us out. Let go of all I have just to have all of you. No matter what it costs, I will follow you. For you are worth it all. Folks, this walk that we walk of faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. Man, if you, any of you in this place ever question, is it worth it? You just picture Christ on a cross. He gave his life for you. He thought you were worth it. That you and I would give up everything to know that our walk with him is worth it. Let go of all I have just to have all of you. No matter what it costs, I will follow you. For you are worth it all. Come on, let's stand to our feet, please.
Amen. If anybody needs prayer, we would love to spend a couple minutes with you tonight and just pray with you. Now listen, please have a blessed week. I want to see you next week. Be consistent. Thank you for coming out Saturday night. Love you. If anyone needs prayer, man, we'd love to pray with you tonight. Come on. Thank you, the Lord. Amen. Amen.